The summer of 1945 was unusually hot and dry on the Mesa. Oppenheimer pushed the men in the tech area to work longer hours. Everyone seemed on edge. Even Miss Warner, isolated as she was down in the valley, noticed a change. There was tension and accelerated activity on the hill. Explosions on the plateau seemed to increase and then to cease. She observed much more traffic on the road headed south toward Alamogordo. Initially, General Groves had opposed the idea of a test of the implosion bomb on the grounds that plutonium was so scarce that not an ounce should be wasted. Oppenheimer convinced him that a full-scale test was absolutely necessary because of the incompleteness of our knowledge. Without a test, he told Groves, the planning of the use of the gadget over enemy territory will have to be done substantially blindly. More than a year earlier, in the spring of 1944, Oppenheimer had spent 3 days and nights bouncing around the barren, dry valleys of southern New Mexico in a 3/4-ton army truck, searching for a suitably isolated stretch of wilderness where the bomb could be safely tested. Accompanying him were Kenneth Bainbridge, an experimental physicist from Harvard, and several army officers, including the Los Alamos security officer, Captain Pierre de Silva. At night, the men slept in the truck's flatbed to avoid rattlesnakes. De Silva later remembered Oppenheimer lying in a sleeping bag, gazing up at the stars and reminiscing about his student days at Göttingen. For Oppenheimer, it was a rare opportunity to savor the Spartan desert he so loved. Several expeditions later, Bainbridge finally selected a desert site 60 miles northwest of Alamogordo. The Spanish had called the area the Jornada del Muerto, the Journey of Death. Here the army staked out an area 18 by 24 miles in size, evicted a few ranchers by eminent domain, and began building a field laboratory and hardened bunkers from which to observe the first explosion of an atomic bomb. Oppenheimer dubbed the test site Trinity, though years later he wasn't quite sure why he chose such a name. He remembered vaguely having in mind a John Donne poem that opens with the line, "Batter my heart, three-personed God." But this suggests that he may also have once again been drawing from the Bhagavad Gita. Hinduism, after all, has its trinity in Brahma the creator, Vishnu the preserver, and Shiva the destroyer. Everyone was exhausted from working such long hours. Groves called for speed, not perfection. Phil Morrison was told that a date near August 10th was a mysterious final date which we, who had the technical job of readying the bomb, had to meet at whatever cost in risk or money or good development policy. Stalin was expected to enter the Pacific War no later than August 15th. Oppenheimer recalled, "I did suggest to General Groves some changes in the bomb design which would have made more efficient use of the material. He turned them down as jeopardizing the promptness of availability of these bombs." Groves' timetable was driven by President Truman's scheduled meeting with Stalin and Churchill in Potsdam in mid-July. Oppenheimer later testified at his security hearing, "I believe we were under incredible pressure to get it done before the Potsdam meeting, and Groves and I bickered for a couple of days." Groves wanted a tested and usable bomb in Truman's hands before the conference ended. Earlier that spring, Oppenheimer had agreed to a target date of July 4th, but this soon proved to be unrealistic. By the end of June, after further pressure from Groves, Oppenheimer told his people that they were now aiming for Monday, July 16th. Oppenheimer had delegated Ken Bainbridge to supervise preparations at the Trinity site, but he also sent his brother Frank to serve as Bainbridge's chief administrative assistant. To Robert's delight, Frank had arrived in Los Alamos in late May, leaving Jackie and their 5-year-old daughter Judith and 3-year-old son Michael in Berkeley. Frank had spent the early war years working with Lawrence in the radiation lab. The FBI and Army intelligence kept a close watch on him, but he seems to have followed Lawrence's advice and abandoned all political activity. Frank began camping out at the Trinity site in late May 1945. Conditions were Spartan, to say the least. The men slept in tents and toiled in 100-degree weather. As the target date approached, Frank felt it only prudent to prepare for disaster. "We spent several days finding escape routes through the desert," he recalled, "and making little maps so everybody could be evacuated." On the evening of July 11th, 1945, Robert Oppenheimer walked home and said goodbye to Kitty. He told her that if the test was successful, he would get a message to her saying, "You can change the sheets." For good luck, she gave him a four-leaf clover from their garden. 2 days prior to the scheduled test, Oppenheimer checked into the Hilton Hotel in nearby Albuquerque. Joining him were Vannevar Bush, James Conant, and other S-1 officials who flew in from Washington to observe the test. "He was very nervous," recalled Joseph O. Hirschfelder, a chemist. As if people were not already anxious enough, a last-minute test firing of the implosion explosives, without the plutonium core, had just indicated that the bomb was likely to be a dud. Everyone began quizzing Kistiakowsky. "Oppenheimer became so emotional," Kistiakowsky recalled, "that I offered him a month's salary against $10 that our implosion charge would work." That evening, in an effort to relieve the tension, Oppie recited for Bush a stanza from the Gita that he had translated from the Sanskrit. "In battle, in forest, at the precipice, in the mountains, on the dark great sea, in the midst of javelins and arrows, in sleep, in confusion, in the depths of shame, the good deeds a man has done before defend him."